Slime Wire. Choose your own adventure.
Taliban World. Taliban World. Taliban, Taliban World. Taliban World. Taliban World. Taliban, Taliban World. 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 Drop money charge. Better start up a war. Better start up a war. Drop money charge. Better start up a war. Better start up a war. Drop money charge. Better start up a war. Better start up a war. Drop money charge. Better start up a war. Better start up a war.
Taliban war. Taliban war. Start up a war.
I need a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the end of the night. He's gotta be strong and he's gotta be fast and he's gotta be fresh from the fight. I need a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the morning light. He's gotta be sure and it's gotta be soon and he's gotta be larger than life.
Slime Wire. Choose your own adventure.
Mahalo. Welcome to the Slime Wire podcast. This is episode 2837, baby. I am your host, Triton T2, here from Portland, Oregon. I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Ikeman Sensei. Would you like to introduce yourself?
This is Ikeman Sensei, coming at you live from the sunny isle of Shikoku, Japan.
And introducing the newest member of the team, we have one Shinzon 009. Would you like to introduce yourself, sir?
Yes, I am rocking out in Afghanistan with my boys in the Taliban.
Hell yeah.
Very nice. Yeah, you got any plans to evacuate yourself? Are you gonna
absolutely
chill?
Absolutely not. Why would I want to leave this place?
Yeah, it looks pretty turned
these
up.
These guys are doing more work for the benefit than I've ever seen.
They've got the mandatory GF policy going on. I wanted to talk about that.
Super duper.
So, we've got two main things to talk about. First, we've got Taliban World. We've got, the Taliban coming back to Afghanistan to tear shit up.
Fucking time.
Inshallah.
Rock and roll, baby.
Yeah, we respect Allah on this podcast.
Absolutely.
And then we've also got Chris Chan. The famed internet meme that was recently arrested for, I don't even want to spoil it yet, because that's we'll get to that when we get there.
Yeah, but stay tuned for what Chris Chan was arrested for, folks. The answer may surprise you.
It probably will surprise you.
Yeah, it definitely will surprise you.
I guess first off, is like everybody cool? Anybody like what did y'all do today? Y'all good?
I went to like a little shack in the mountains. One of my students was like, "Hey, this is like where they serve like the best like noodles." And I went up in this shack in the mountains, and like it was literally like a shack with like a fold out like table and chair, and this lady with like almost no teeth made me some fucking noodles, and it was delicious. I gotta say.
You don't need noodles to, or you don't need teeth to eat noodles. Holy shit.
Exactly. Yeah. I was
oh, fuck.
Since we're bringing Shinzon 009 onto the pod, we should talk about...
Yes, sir.
We should talk about Shinzon's, what did we call it? Our, what did we call it in the first episode when we were like, we need to describe why we are the people doing this podcast? Like, why we are the ones that get to talk about how Vaporwave has seeped into the material world.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What sets Shinzon 009 apart from all the other rubes in the world that think know about Vaporwave, you know?
Yeah, what's Shinzon's flex? I mean, let's hear it from
Am I answering that, or are you guys hearing?
Let's just do a short, a little short get
what
to know.
What do I bring to the table?
What do you know about Vaporwave, and what do you know about the internet and the
I was introduced.
What is your relationship to us as well?
Personally, my introduction to Vaporwave came from Triton T2.
Hell yeah. I couldn't remember if I showed it to you or if you showed it to me.
No, it was you. The ultimate mega compilation of Dream Catalog's best of the best albums that came out of there, and straight up just pure, I guess, peripheral listening. Because without giving away too much, me and Trident had worked together for a while.
Yeah.
So we were both kind of, I was exposed to Vaporwave from him. And it was quite the enlightening experience, if I do say so myself.
Yeah. And then we also, like, we all three of us sort of lived together in a way for a short period of time. And
we're bumping
a whole lot of Vaporwave together. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when we really sort of Vaporwaved our brains, because we would just do it all the fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, getting off of work and, like, stumbling in drunk because I would be drinking while I was skating home. And I would be like, turn whatever shit is.
The most prolific Vaporwave to us. It would be like, just like a care package of just the most interesting music I would have fucking listened to. Jesus Christ. Most fucking Vaporwave bands I would have never, or not bands, I wouldn't even call them bands.
Artists, producers.
Artists, there we go.
Yeah.
Fucking, I would have never figured out if it weren't for Trident. Shit.
Yeah, he really did show us all the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I remember
the pastor. Like,
yes.
The pastor preaching Vaporwave.
Preaching Vaporwave to the masses. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, at that time it was basically coming out, like, if you were hanging out with Trident 2, you were going to be listening to Vaporwave. I remember when, like, we went, well, I left for Japan, and, like, that was, like, right before Morgan really, or Trident 2 really went off on the whole Vaporwave game, you know? And then, yeah, by the time I came back, it was just, it was wild.
Hard pressed.
Yeah.
Into the minds of everybody.
It fucked with our brains entirely. And so, yeah, that's why this is like a perfect unit to talk about Vaporwave, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The gang's all here. We're back, baby.
Hell yeah.
We're back, baby. Let's get to it.
Yeah. All right. Well, so with this Taliban thing, I only really wanted to talk, I mean, it's sad and hilarious that, like, 20 years of U.S. imperialism has been, like, completely wasted in, like, a week because the Taliban just, like, took over again, you know?
Real quick, have either of you heard, so Joe Biden came out and made a statement towards the whole thing. Have either of you heard anything about that?
I know that he was like, nah, it was chill, don't worry about it. We're getting our boys out of there. Like,
so he basically, said, hey, it's their own fault. They didn't have the spirit to fight back. Kind of shit. Absolute based.
Yeah.
Fucking,
that's, you know, crazy. I mean?
Well, he's like, fucking, well, his shit's getting, like, airlifted out the country.
Yeah. I mean, we've all seen the pictures and the videos. It's truly fucked up. And then
I mean, my boys here can attest.
Yeah. Shinzon has a background of a bunch of Taliban dudes. He's actually in
somebody take a screenshot of this pic.
Kabul. I'll take a picture
Dude,
of it
the next cover.
With my phone.
Dude.
I wanted to talk about the 4chan freak that is, like, that went to Afghanistan right before this happened, you know?
Oh my god, that was so fucking sad to watch. That was like a guy having like a mental breakdown.
Did
over
you
the fact
read any of
gonna...
his thread or anything? I haven't heard anything about him today.
I looked at the video, and through the entire thing, he was just really, like, sporadic, talking about, like, fucking, like, oh yeah, you know, I might get out in like a week or a month, but yeah, no, I'm not. I feel safe. I have water and food.
And he kept talking
and
about 4chan,
like,
too.
He's pointing at his Twitch shit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I have you guys to talk to. And it's just like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Like, I mean, I think it makes sense to, like, bring it up when we're talking about, like, Chris Chan, because it's like, it's just another instance of, like, if this
absolute
happened,
delusion. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, it's a dude from the internet coming into the real world. and like all he's talking about is 4chan and yeah. about how based he is and about Taliban's mandatory GF policy.
Them killing people at the airport is pretty cringe. But I have to say it's pretty nice other than that.
Yeah. So it's just another case of like vaporwave seeping into the material world, which just keeps happening over and over and over again.
The Taliban takeover of I'm drawing a blank.
Afghanistan.
Afghanistan. Shit. I wanted to say Al Qaeda. Fucking so bad. I was just like, not it. The Taliban takeover of Afghanistan is very vaporwave.
And it is absolutely based in red pills. I mean, like, it seems like they just waltzed in and just
muscled in their way. Yeah. Again.
Yeah. Like, they just walked in.
I mean, Biden might be right. You know what I mean? Biden might be right in the sense that fucking, they just let it happen. It's their own fault.
Shut up, dude. Yeah, for Christ's sakes. Like,
victim blaming, but I mean, shit.
I'm sure they had deals on the side. Like, this has been, they'd been planning this for like a long ass time. That's what I think. But,
I mean, did you hear about, the reason that they were able to just, waltz right into the Capitol and take back, Abu Ghraib? No, not Abu Ghraib.
Kabul.
Yeah, Kabul. The U.S. was, like, providing, like, air support for the military, for the, Afghanistan military. And once the United States left, they took all of their, super hyper-advanced, 2,500-level technology with them and left the Afghanistanians with just like their kind of shitty military, right? So once they didn't have once they didn't have like Star Wars level like air support, like just none of it worked, you know?
Yeah.
So like it was just like the military coming in and being like, okay, we're gonna like bolster your guys' forces. It's gonna be fucking awesome. You're gonna get all the latest gear and all the latest like strategies and shit. But they actually didn't give them anything. They just had all of it for themselves and then left with it.
The Taliban has accumulated so much of fucking just raw material in terms of like military power over the past 20 years. You know what I mean? There's stories of like military people leaving their like fucking entire like surplus of weapons and shit and then moving to another base. You know what I mean? What happens to all that weaponry?
Yeah, they just swoop right in.
Fucking pick it up.
Yeah.
And this stuff is like nowadays it's like broadcasted on Twitter where like that wasn't the case like 10 years ago, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So I showed you guys that video of the CNN post.
Oh yeah, I've seen a couple different videos of that specific reporter. She's still there. And she keeps trying to ask Taliban dude stuff, and they just ignore her, or they just laugh at her because she's a woman and they're the Taliban. Like, what do you expect? Like,
and this is their day of victory. This is like they're like absolutely. My boys like, here just no laugh in her face.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It just means like this is a day for the boys if there ever was one. Chicks allowed.
They said you throw that burqa back on, better knock that off.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
No, it's totally wild.
Yeah, I mean,
that was another thing. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I mean, like, it's, like, fucked up, but it's, like, this was going to happen if we backed out in 2004 or 2010 or, like, 2016. Like, it was going to happen no matter what. So, like, people getting mad at Joe Biden about it is hilarious.
Yeah. Acceleration of the thing has to be attributed to the fucking timing, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I think what's actually going on is we don't need opium poppies anymore because we have fentanyl from China. That's a big part of why we were in Afghanistan in the first place.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's like 80% of the economy in Afghanistan is just like old like grandmas with hijabs and like bent over ass backs like picking opium poppies in a field. Like that's literally I'm not even exaggerating, that's like 40% of the Afghanistan economy is heroin. That's like
huge. And then their kids learn how to fucking make pipe bombs.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, fight bomb making school is the next most lucrative economy. But yeah, fucking, it's just wild because, like, to what you were saying, Morgan, it's like, yeah, we pulled out and then just Afghanistan immediately took over. And it's like, what are we going to, like, what the fuck are we going to do now? Like, we're not going back.
No, nobody's going. Yeah, there's no reason to go.
That's one of those points where you throw your hands up and you fucking walk away. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You
yeah.
say, like, ah, that's not my problem anymore. I'm sorry.
Some people just can't be helped.
That's what Joe Biden did today. He said, yeah, well, that's real. His own fault. It's his own fault. Shit.
Yeah.
That's not my problem anymore. I'm dealing with shit over here.
Yeah, yeah. And now, well, now it's just going to be like, nobody here has any, like, moral stance towards it now, right? Because we all, you know, people that were, like, liberal in the 2000s were like, we got to get out of Afghanistan. We got to get out of Iraq. Our presence there has just fucked everything up. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's going to be terrible. And now it's like, well, what are we going to do? Like you can't just say, like,
well, if you go,
can't just say,
that's not my problem. Fucking, yeah, well, I mean, shit, that's exactly what they're doing. Shit.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
what
that's
sucks
what
is that
now, but
it's supported by the sheer idea that fucking, like, well, we don't want soldiers out there dying every day. You know what I mean?
Sure.
What are you gonna say? Like, oh, I'd rather have a million soldiers in fucking Afghanistan and they die every day, kind of shit, while they try to force a certain type of democracy within
yeah.
the state.
Yeah,
and it's not happened within 20 years. But
yeah, yeah, it didn't happen
shit,
for 20 years. It's not happening again.
To dip at the point where fucking shit finally falls apart. It's kind of shitty.
Oh yeah, it was pretty fucked up. I just don't know, like, what, like,
well, if you go on Instagram, buddy, and the infographics are already out. Like, there's there's already infographics telling you that you need to support humanitarian visas, support safe houses and humanitarian aid. But these are all, like, these are all the, like, vaguest of platitudes. Like, how can any, like, how, if you, like, how can you do something to support a safe house in Afghanistan? I do not know where to begin. Like,
yeah,
what website
true.
Do I go
Very
to?
Yeah, point me to the link
yeah.
where I donate.
Directly to fucking fund that. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's not possible. Yeah.
It's purely something that you can post on your Instagram.
Selectional
to,
funding, yeah.
To appear woke, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And people, yeah. You do see a bunch of, like, little infographics being like, well, like, the Taliban's going to impose Sharia law again, and it's going to be really bad, and, you know, women's rights have been set back for, like, 200 years. And it's like, I don't know what the point of any of this is going to be. I just don't know, how, like, the U.S. is not going to take any more military action against the Taliban. They won. They just own Afghanistan.
Yeah, we're out of there now. Yeah, we're fucking done with it.
Yeah.
The war on terror
was
won.
We said, we said no contest. We said we're not involved anymore. Bye.
Yeah,
peace. Terror won. Yeah. Terror won the war on terror. It's fucked up.
Absolutely, but we'll never admit that. We'll
yeah,
say that
yeah.
we got out of there because we needed to.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we've been, like, on the premise of...
Which is a good point. You know what I mean? Hey, there's no point... Oh, sorry. Sorry, Adam.
No, no, no. Go ahead. But, like, so the... like, people oppose the Iraq and, like, Afghanistan war based on, like, the premise that we basically defeated the Taliban and we were, like, occupied there for too long and we destabilized the region and stuff.
It was fully reactionary at the base of it all. It was fully reactionary. We did it because of 9/11. We initiated the entire attack and put all our banking behind fucking we're retaliating. And we're trying to stabilize this country that made a terroristic attack on us. And now we're essentially abandoning it while in the midst of a terroristic takeover of that same country. It's just like...
Yeah, but like...
Wait, what?
Everybody who opposed the war on the grounds that it was like, more like needless intervention and, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, the United States created the Taliban in the first place and all this stuff... like, they were all doing that based on the supposition that, like, we beat the Taliban. Like, everybody just thought that we had beaten them. So, like, all of that, like, everybody being super pissed off and, like, yelling about how the United States was, like, actually totally morally in the wrong to go in. They were only saying that because they thought the Taliban had lost. And then we just found out, like, a couple days ago that actually, no, they were doing, I guess they were just doing fine. And then they totally took over. So it's like, yeah. How, like, what the fuck are you going to do? Like, I don't know what to think about it. Because this whole time I've been like, yeah, the U.S. should never have never intervened in these wars. And, like we've just made the situation worse over the past, like, 40, 50 years. And now, like, it's like, okay, you got your wish. We've withdrawn from Afghanistan. And, like, the day after we do that, the Taliban just fucking walks back in. Like, it's fucked up. So there's, like, no... I just don't think there's any, like, morally correct, like, stance to have about it right now, you know? Like, no, over the coming, like, days and weeks and months, eventually people will fashion a morally correct... You know, both sides of the political spectrum will forge, like, a stance on it. But right now, I don't think anybody, like... Nobody knows. Like, how can you be, like, liberal and anti...
Well, nobody's dumb enough to make a fucking prediction on the whole situation. The Taliban could potentially instate, like, a sense of, like, law that is something we don't even expect them. You know what I mean? They could be completely, like, kind of...
in their own...
Pro-feminism, pro kind of all this shit. Because they have power now... This isn't a challenge of, like, fucking kind of morals. It's more of, like, how do I instate myself to these other countries now? Because I am fucking in control.
Oh, yeah, they won.
Like, yeah. I'm not just going to make, like, fucking crazy decisions based off of my religion or any of this kind of shit. I'm going to try to fit in with the rest of these nations so that I'm not just overthrown by an outside power.
Yeah. So they don't have any kind of, like, Afghanistan, like, power struggles going on anymore, because again they just walked right in and now they own Afghanistan, like, total victory, like, fucking 100% smackdown victory. So yeah, they're going to be, like, trying to, like, pose themselves to the other, like, nations of the world and be like,
the UN or any kind of, like, superpowers of the world.
Yeah. They're like, hey, no, don't invade us. We're chill now. Yeah, like, we're down. It's the 21st century. Actually, wearing a hijab is, like, a really progressive thing.
Yeah, we got AKs. We're going all the time. Fucking, like, no. This is just normal.
Well, it's fine.
China is already fucking with them. Like, China already said that they're going to, like, try and, like, maintain some sort of good relationship with them. I think if they're acting, this is not what I want to happen. But if they're acting in their own, like, personal interests, what they should do is just kill every American journalist and not let any American people in their country and just fuck with China. Like, that's all they need to do.
Yeah, China's, like, coming up, man. China is coming up. Like, China's where it's at right now. You got to get in on the ground floor with China.
Yeah, they can't allow American politicians to know what's going on inside of that country.
Fuck. These days, I think China would turn Afghanistan to glass if they ever pulled that kind of shit. You know what I mean? They would fucking drop bombs on that kind of shit.
But they would love for them to revolt. Stop fucking with an America. Like, if they just fucked with China and, like, got rid of all their American, like, intelligence sources and shit, China would love that. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But no,
with that.
I mean, if they killed a bunch of American journalists, it would be a giant international scandal, and then we would invade them again. And just continue.
I don't know. I mean, the last 20 years of occupation didn't seem to do much. I don't know. It depends on who's the president in the next, like, couple years too.
They're lucky all this shit happened under Biden, because, like, my God, if this happened under Donald Trump, this would be, like, it would be insane.
I would love to see the press brief in that universe, you know.
Oh, my God. Fucking Donald Trump going up against the Taliban timeline would be fucking hilarious. Like, they've just been so lucky so far in that they got fucking... George Bush Jr. And then they would get, like, Donald Trump, like, the two biggest fucking, like, morons.
I'm not afraid of people that live in caves.
And that's all. Tried not living in a cave, okay?
Yeah.
Get some houses. Maybe I'll take you seriously.
Yeah, he would have comebacks to, like, fucking Taliban leaders. And stuff. That'd be, oh my God. Yeah.
I missed that shit on Twitter. Oh shit.
Yeah, I sort of wish we lived in that timeline so, now.
Funny thing, I saw what was it, Death to America is trending with over 54,000 posts.
Good. Fuck Death to America, bro.
I mean okay.
I think it was because they were talking about that video of that.
Yeah,
reporter.
Exactly. The CNN video, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's just outrageous that they would allow that kind of trend.
I mean, people...
You know what I mean?
The Taliban, I mean, are on Twitter. Way.
People like... think that way, sure. But I mean, shit, when you want to say, like, terroristic posts need to be banned on Twitter, and then you allow that to trend, that's kind of wild.
Point.
You know
that's
what I mean?
A great fucking point, actually. Yeah, like, they just totally...
Even if it's a parody, even if it's just fucking... Yeah. Oh, I'm just taking it out of context because she said it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They
it's
totally
just like, why would you allow that to trend? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On a site that is pro-American, apparently.
Strange times we live in.
All right.
Clown world is what I like to call it.
All right. Well, yeah. Rest up, Allah.
Inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah. Yeah.
Taliban world. Yeah. Fucking. Okay, well, let's talk about Chris Chan then.
Okay, here we go.
Let's get to the meat of the story. Apologies to our listeners. We are a little bit late on this one. That's my bad. I have been extending the podcast because I've been getting ready to move into a different part of Japan. It's been a lot of work. But, Chris Chan couldn't wait. We really had to hop on this trending story.
The man's a legend. I mean, we can't... Shit.
Yeah, he's just so in our lane, you know?
Yeah, so, fucking Shinzon 009, you have the most Chris Chan experience here, I think.
I would say so, yes. I would say so. I have the most Chris Chan knowledge. if that is something to brag about,
yeah,
I would not
if
say
that
it
kind
was.
Of thing can be counted as knowledge. How long have you been deeply following this character?
This predicament, this kind of situation?
Yeah.
I would say about, I believe me and Triton and you, when we were living together, we had watched a documentary on the guy. And then...
Really?
Following that, I think we watched the Down the Rabbit Hole documentary. We got halfway through, and I think Morgan got pissed off. Oh shit!
Oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
I think Triton got pissed off, and said, "This isn't anything I want to see." So you switched it to like fucking just compilations of the guy, and it was like out of context Chris Chan moments, and we watched them back to back to back to back. And it was such a kind of like mixed bag of like fucking reactions. Like when I watched, I thought like, fucking, this is cringe. Like,
yeah.
This is like some serious fucking like, makes me want to cringe. But I think it was maybe 3 years later, around 2018, I finished the Down the Rabbit Hole video. If anyone wants to check it out, it's a really good kind of just compartmentalized information without any of the tassels, without any of the things, like, you know what I mean?
It's not a deep dive.
It's not
summarized.
A deep dive. It's absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's
really
worth pointing
really
out
focused.
that the other main Chris Chan documentary is like 50 hours long and it's not even
the Geno Samuel documentary. It is 56 1 hour parts at this point. And he made a statement talking about that he was kind of done with the series up until at least the end of the year because he wants to see just the sheer what's going to happen
with
the end game of this story, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
which is understandable. I wouldn't want to fucking do a documentary on someone that I fucking thought was going to become a high-class criminal.
Yeah,
it's pretty fucked.
But that documentary is wild, and I think that, like, I mean, obviously, since this, like, most recent Chris Chan story, like, hit, like there's so many people that are like getting into it right now that are like watching the documentary, and it's I've watched 20 parts of it already, and there are huge swaths of it where like every single day is like documented, you know? It's so
it's
crazy.
Fucking weird.
I think it only gets it only gets more detailed as the documentary goes on. Because I watched up to episode 25, and then I skipped a bunch, and I went into after she had already started her transition and all this stuff like that, and it seemed like it literally only gets more and more worse. Detailed. Yeah, it gets way worse.
It works.
I mean, it just goes exponentially worse. And that's something that's you expect it to be a straight line graph of immiseration and fucking misery that this person is going through, but it's actually a curve. It's a bell curve.
It's a spiral. It spirals into itself and just fucking turns into nothing.
It's an exponential curve. So the distance in how shitty it is between the first episode and the second episode is minimal, but then by the time you get from the 21st to the 22nd episode, things are just going way worse in his life. You know,
on top of that, and this is no disrespect to the creator of those videos, Gino Samuel, but I feel he kind of creates a persona. When he wants to fucking give information to Chris Chan, he'll try to do a weird voice, and he's trying to voice Chris Chan's messages, and it just comes off as so cringe, you know what I mean? It's around 25, maybe 30. Say.
When he's reading the messages, whenever anything's in caps, he'll yell it really loud.
And it's just And I had to take a break from that shit,
I feel that he's so the documentary
he's epitomizing the dialogue.
So he's the documentary is supposed to be about, or it's supposed to be a serious look at this character's life, you know? But he still wants to throw a little bit of trolling in there. He wants to throw a little bit of fortune
sideways fucking observation.
So that's the way that he does it in that documentary, because whenever he reads those things, he does it in a super autistic Chris voice, you know? But you could say that he's just reading those messages and those
of his ability to Chris Chan kind of shit.
He's just emphasizing the capitalized parts of the messages, but no, it actually
some of that shit.
He's making fun of him.
Is it possible to get just a small concise idea of who Chris Chan is, originally become popular?
Let's hear the Chris Chan pitch. Elevator pitch.
I mean, I think it's just he was a guy that sort of went viral on the internet, but this was a long ass time ago, 2008, 2009 or something? 2007?
I think it was 98 when he was on that, he had won a Sonic contest as a child.
He ended
up on TV, and that kind of inflated his ego.
To
the point where he felt like he was somebody special that should be on TV kind of shit.
And then he makes the DVD later about all his... Because he gets on TV a couple times, ironically. So he first got popular on the internet because he made, that video where he was talking about how it's not okay to be gay. And then people found that. And then they discovered the comics that he drew. And then, I think basically what happened is... They started reading the comics and realized that if you look at the comics closely, you realize it's way more about his personal life than the fictional characters that he's created. And then they could they found him on the internet and found him writing his own articles about himself, and they figured out that they could tie things in the comics to these specific events in his life. And then eventually they realized that they could just go to him directly, go directly to the source and fuck with him.
Oh, shit.
And create their own reality inside of his comics and shit. And get themselves in the comics and stuff.
I think that, yeah, we need a... I feel like it's hard to start talking about Chris Chan without just, like, getting lost in the incredible amount of lore, but for the listeners who are not in the loop about Chris Chan, Chris Chan is basically a high-functioning autistic man who created his own Sonic fan fiction and was active in the Pokemon trading card game community in, like, 2007. He became internet famous when some people posted a pictures of him doing kind of autistic things to the, what do you call it, Encyclopedia Dramatica.
Yeah.
That enraged him, and he he went on an online war to get those embarrassing pictures taken down, but basically a bunch of people from the internet sort of like harnessed his rage to get him to produce much more cringeworthy content, and ever since that original conflict happened, it's just been going downhill and downhill. And now he basically has this obsessive fan base of people who record every facet and every element of his life, and also are actively, like...
They actively influence his life as well. They're not documentarians. Yeah. They get into the nitty-gritty. They're gonzo journalists.
They're not just passive documentarians. They're actually most of the people he knows in his life.
I'd like to add, most of the information that is gathered from this situation isn't mined for, you know what I mean? It is openly given by Chris.
Yes.
To these people, you know what I mean? It isn't. These people aren't holding blackmail over. I mean, in some cases, yes, they are holding blackmail over the guy to get him to do things and do other kind of things. But I mean, those are way down the line. But yes, no, in the early seasons of Chris Chan, the series, all information was given by Chris Chan.
Yes.
This kind of thing openly given and then expanded upon by Chris Chan. You know what I mean? So if people would ask questions, he'd go into it kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
One of the weirder things, we'll get to that point.
I think that, like, from watching that documentary, that was one of the things that stood out to me, is like he has this horrible incentive to, like, respond to the trolls, not because he's ever going to be able to, like, get a one over on them or beat them in any way, but basically because they are, like, his only social network, his only community of people, you know? So that is one thing where, like, I think that there are people who will say, well, Chris Chan is just, he's just bringing it on himself, you know? Like, every time he, like, does this, he's just doing it himself, and, like, that is kind of true, but it's like he has to. Like, the lure of internet fame is motivating him just as much as, like, the threat of getting severely sexually assaulted and harassed over the internet, right? So, like, it's those two things that are motivating him. And it's just so weird. It's like all of that harassment, he'll never stop going because there's also the, like, promise of internet
fame. Rush of being involved in things being involved in yourself.
That's the other thing, like, he has no fucking friends,
self-awareness. He has no self-awareness, and that's the fucking saddest part. It's like watching a man run into a burning building because he wants to save his fucking couch, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's never gonna be able to drag the couch out. You're watching a man kill himself by running into a burning building. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's
essentially
what the draw of this whole thing is. I mean, not to that extreme, of course, but we're watching a man just slowly devolve and just slowly, like, degrade his own life into this fucking mess.
Yeah.
Of just fantasy of debauchery kind of shit. You know what I mean? And it's just like, what? I hate this. Like, shit. We're sick people, I guess. But fuck. This guy's sicker than everybody. I mean, I'm just watching the whole thing go down.
That's the other thing. Like, I mean, you can't. Oh, go ahead.
yeah, I mean, the thing is just like once you are aware of it and then you like the second you like look deeper, you realize there's another like rabbit hole and then there's another one. And then they just keep looping in on themselves. And it's literally like.
And at what point is it everybody else's fault? I don't want to be the asshole to be that, but like. Somebody needs to take this guy off the internet. Somebody needed to have taken this guy off the internet in hindsight now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That would have been the fucking easiest thing to do. But nobody did. Everybody had a hands-off approach to this guy, whether it be trolls, people that wanted to help him, his own family. Nobody wanted to touch the guy. You know what I mean? Everyone just wanted to be like, hey, let him do his own thing.
Yeah.
He'll fucking figure it out later. And the guy's pushing 40. He's going to jail. It's just like, shit.
Yeah, yeah. I think that...
Is it on like, us? Shit.
Well, like, the more that you... One thing about it is that the more you watch it, once you start getting into it, then you are a bad person. Like you're a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't leave without being stained permanently.
Yeah.
Because it was that guy that he was one of the first guys who took the approach of like having like similar mannerisms to Chris Chan and like Liquid pretending Chris. To be like
That was Liquid Sorry? Chris, the guy that pretended
no,
to
no,
be
No, 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 that wasn't it was before Liquid Chris. It was this he was kind of like a bigger guy.
I got a fun fact about Liquid Chris. Pretty funny.
Yeah, but it was the guy that he like actually he was one of, he, I think he was the first guy at least in the documentary that goes into like Chris's actual life and like hits him up and is like, hey, do you want to hang out? And he meets Chris and
the big pickle guy.
No, it's not big pickle guy. It's before any of that. He's the first guy to actually
wait,
like,
I think I know what you're talking about. Is it the guy that goes to his church and like talks to his dad?
Yeah, you're right. The pastor. No, not the pastor. He wasn't even a pastor. He wasn't a pastor.
I think his name was like Richard or something. Started with an R. But yeah, and like afterwards, he has like footage of him talking to his friend and being like, yeah, he's just a big fucking idiot. I mean, he's just like a moron. And he's like, well, I hope this entertains people. And it's like that that sentence right there is like, that is what was the downfall of Chris Chan. Is like, yeah,
the general consensus everybody. Of the internet.
Yeah, we're being
his representation right? from then on. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, like we are all now kind of shitty people, you know, just for watching it.
I mean, the whole thing, it's a real life Truman Show. And so it's like, if every facet of this guy's life is going to be like meticulously detailed, and I know that that's happening, there's nobody in the world is going to stop me from finding out, you know, like I'm going to
read Truman, the damn thing. Truman didn't do it himself. He was forced into true. That life. You know what I mean?
It's an internet
this guy
version.
Openly put every, this guy put everything he had on the internet about himself. He said, I want the idea of myself to be this. While putting out cringe shit that gave other people other ideas. You know what I mean? He tried to brute force this idea of himself onto people. And in doing so, he ruined his own image by fucking contradicting it time and time again. And it was just like fucking like, shit. I hate to say it, but take the internet away from these guys. You know what I mean? I don't want to be like the kind of person that pushes for like a fucking some like fascist rule. It's just like, yeah, you said too much shit on the internet. No more internet for you. But I mean, like, if you can't comprehend these kinds of shit or this kind of shit on the internet, you know what I mean? If people are making fun of you and you're making comics about you fucking like murdering them in like the most grotesque and gruesome ways. So you guys, let's segue into that shit. So have you guys heard of the comic he did of like where he killed like the, it was like a, there was the principal at his college. There was the security guards at the mall.
Yeah.
And then there was the owner of the game store. And he made a comic book about him like brutally murdering these people, like twisting their limbs until they pop, like drilling holes into the people.
Damn.
And like using psychic powers to make their head explode and fucking like their heart and head explode. It's just like, holy shit. This is some twisted shit. You know what I mean? From a little kid, hey, there's some like room for growth.
Put him in therapy.
From a 30-year-old man, it's just like, holy shit, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, I do think that, like, the... I mean, and we have, like, discussed this, that it... Yeah, ultimately, it's the fact that he was born to his parents. Like, his parents did not pull through for him, you know?
Yeah, they had no idea what was... But, I mean, they knew what was going on. Like, there were instances where the internet, like, came into his real life. And the second that they caught any whip of that, they should have shut it down. Like, immediately.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
Just taking the computer away.
I mean, again...
They use the computer as a... Okay,
sorry. This is like the perfect, like this happened at the perfect time to the perfect person where, like, his family, like, nobody really understood the idea that you could get bullied to the point of suicide on the internet. I guess maybe by the time, maybe by, like, 2007, that was kind of a thing, but it was certainly not, like... Like, it was a niche problem.
They weren't
you know?
Making Lifetime movies about fucking people being bullied to death.
Exactly,
on the
exactly.
By, like, that time. I get it. Yeah,
at that time,
I mean?
People thought that was something that only happened to, like, severely depressed 17-year-old girls who were self-harming. And this guy is, like, a 25-year-old autistic guy. Yeah, so, like, he couldn't comprehend what was going to happen. And his parents, I don't think, like... really understood what was gonna, like, how dangerous that was gonna end up being for everybody. Although I do think that there was, like, one thing about both of his parents, and especially Bob, is that they are, like, in a state of willful self-deception about Christian, right? Like,
oh, absolutely.
They, like, so that was one of the things where, like, Bob, it's one of his first, like, troll dates. It's the troll date where I think her name is Emily.
They go to the mall and the
pickle guy
shows up.
Yeah. So to set the scene, Chris Chan is being trolled. He has always at least, like, two or three people who are faking identities and talking with him online in his life at all times. There's never a point at which he doesn't have at least, like, three people who are faking their identities and interacting with him online, basically on a daily basis. And one of
his sweethearts.
They're sweet. Oh, yeah, yeah. Exactly. He's maintaining a roster of at least three sweethearts at all times. And so, yeah, one of the sweethearts.
Absolute
goes...
Mac.
So he goes out on a date with one of them, and his dad Bob comes along and like weirdly doesn't leave them alone, like hangs out at, like, the table at the mall with them for, like, too long because he doesn't want to leave his son alone. But he's talking about, like, yeah, well, you know, I was like, yeah, I had this job and, like, you know, I was a pretty successful guy, and Chris, you know, we're just trying to find out what he's good at and, like, what he has a passion for and what he, and he's like, well, you know, he's pretty good at, like, art and, like, drawing and stuff. And it's like he's just, like, totally fucking blind about the fact that his son has, like, a severe disease, and his son is not actually good at drawing or art or music or anything.
So,
you know?
So do you believe that it's willful ignorance with Robert, or do you believe that Robert is just a man fucking lost in the past? The guy's a Vietnam veteran, from
That's
what I remember.
He's super old too, and it's neither of those parents can, like, really, like, properly care for this guy. I mean, shit, like, they're old, and he's, like, at this point in the story, he's, like, 30 or something. Still living at home, you know?
Yeah.
And so, it's like, yeah, what can they do? They can't properly care for him.
So, my thing is that their willful ignorance comes out in the form of, like, depression, right? Like, it's they're not
Fair
acknowledging
enough.
It. And so they become severely depressed over the course of the show because they, not the show, over the course of the real life events.
Might as well call it that.
Yeah, we can just call it
the show. Be a show. You
Why
know
the
what
fuck
I mean?
Not? It is the best. It's the greatest show of all time.
Quickville, the show. Quickville.
Quickville. Quickville. Yeah. Quickville, the series on CBC.
New weekly episodes on Netflix.
Yep. Yeah, but no. So that's my piece for, like, at some level, both of his parents understand something about what's happening to Chris. Mm-hmm. They just are unwilling to like confront it, which is why Barbara goes into these severe depressions all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob is like just basically sitting on the couch and, you know, drinking his life away.
I fully agree. And I'll bring out this fucking example. That's one of the probably one of the saddest examples that you could look up right now. That is at the same time fucking hilarious. it is the I'm working on it video where Bob or Robert comes into so Chris Chan is he's been left fucking without his internet or his email has been hacked.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking, or he's locked out of his PSN account or some massive thing in his life has happened.
So yeah.
He pops on video and he's just like, Stardate, no!
Yeah,
he
yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
need a Stardate! This is serious!
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
like, I want you to take that internet down! And then he starts screaming at the camera. And then Robert comes in.
Yeah.
And then Robert just starts going like, fucking, I want you to take that shit down now! I don't care what you have to do. I want you to do that. And that is such a clear show of just his ignorance towards like what the internet is.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you can't
yeah,
just
yeah.
fucking take that shit down.
Yeah,
which reminds
yeah.
me of that. You guys ever seen that video of the little girl crying on her like fucking computer and then her dad's like right behind her talking about like, I'll take that shit off the internet. I'll tear this shit down. And she's like sitting on the computer like, oh. it's fucking depressing. But
I've
back
never
to,
seen that.
Back to Robert. Oh, fuck. I have to send it to you guys. It's
No, I've seen the video, and
it mirrors this Robert shit. But I mean, at the same time, then you hear Chris Chan going like, "I'm working on it. I'm trying. I'm working on it," and then finally just leaves. Robert leaves the room, and it's,
yeah.
that whole experience is such a Three Stooges-esque fucking just like interaction. You know what I mean? It's like Moe and Curly arguing, like fucking.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't. I'm working on it.
You're
it's
right.
It's just like fucking, oh shit.
And then the context for that video is that Chris Chan had done like a home tour video where he was like, I'm gonna show you my house and where I live.
Yeah.
And like the house is just like they're hoarders and they live in complete filth. The house is in total disarray. It's fucked. And Bob or Robert finds out about this and is worried that the fucking the home people, what are they called? Department of Land?
Department of Land Protection or
Something like that. But he's worried that they're gonna get like kicked out of their house because it's like it's not a safe place
cluttered,
for people to live.
Beyond belief.
So instead of And so instead of facing that fact and cleaning up the damn house, he instead tells his son to just delete all the evidence off of the internet, but doesn't understand that you can't just, once it's on the internet, it's there forever.
There forever. Yeah.
My minor fact I want to add is that Chris is not Robert's son. Chris is the son of somebody else prior. Chris's mother had married Robert after the fact. There is multiple stories pointing to that she was like a fucking some kind of hussy who had multiple people. Chris's brother has come out talking about like fucking she was like with multiple men that would like hate him. That's the reason why he like cut her out of his life.
Damn.
And it's just like pretty fucked situation. So I don't know.
I thought that was like a kind of hearsay. I think in the documentary it says that it is unconfirmed like whether he's actually his son or not, but I mean either way, like they still did end up getting into a like a codependent relationship with each other.
Oh absolutely. Yeah And there was never a point where Chris never respected the guy, like you look at the comics, I don't want to say that kind of shit, you'll fucking
if you look at the comics, it's all there, okay?
Look at the comics. He never includes Robert as a character in the comics. Only as like fucking like a like an afterthought, like a here's my family at the very end, and he's got like Sonichu and like a cartoon version of him, and then a photo of Robert and his mom.
Yeah.
And it's just like he never got to the point where he hated them enough to kill them in his comic, nor represent them in his comic enough. You know what I mean?
I think that that's also like a big influence on Chris's homophobia and racism is probably, this is speculation, but yeah, I feel like it's probably Bob. Like, it's Bob. Because there's a phone call where Bob takes a call from a prank caller, like a troll who's prank calling, and he's like, "Get your black ass out of here."
Oh, no. Like that. The best one of my favorite ones is when he calls like the game, or somebody is trolling, like they're calling from the game place.
Yeah.
He had been like fucking
trolling
like they're an employee. And they're just like, yeah, I just wanted to call you about Chris Chan because he had come to the store and he has a fucking he can't come within like 100 feet of the store. Yeah. And then Bob is just like, "What's your name? You sound pretty queer." And it's just like, oh shit. He's like, "Well, I'm not going to tell you my name." He's like, "Well, let me get your manager then. I've been talking to your manager. He's a piece of shit too."
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh. He's defending Chris. You know what I mean?
Or maybe
I'm misinterpreting it, and he's just defending his own integrity.
He's just saving his own skin.
In proxy of Chris, you know what I mean?
Hey, man, but like with a father and a son, it's like the same thing. You know, your integrity is down to your son.
He represents
him,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, as a prelude to like the horrible shit that happens later, doesn't Chris try and run over the manager of that game store?
No. Fun fact, his mom does.
Yeah,
so his mom. Chris tries to pull a fucking escape route and then like jumps in the car as like the manager of the game place is like running at them. So his mom like fucking like in an act of desperation just floors it out the fucking the parking lot, and the guy is like standing in front of them just like, "Hey, I want to talk to you."
Yeah.
And she like floors it at him, and he's like getting carried on the fucking hood. Like, what the fuck? So yeah, they both got charged for that shit. For like vehicular assault, I think.
Or
did they take a? I think she took a plea.
So she ultimately took a plea, but they were in court for a long time over that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
massive fucking thing. Yeah.
Ultimately, the guy from the game place, Snyder. Helps them. Yeah, Snyder. said that he didn't want them to face prison time.
I thought it was the opposite.
No. He said,
"I want Chris to face some kind of consequence because there is nothing happening as of right now." And he kept bringing up like fucking like these people online are coming at me now.
Yeah,
and this
yeah.
is like I'm being involved in this shit, and I just want to run my store.
Yeah, all I remember is that he did not want them faced with prison time, so he let them go.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a small shred of hope left for that guy. But yeah.
We that saw where that led.
That guy's probably one of the most blameless people in the.
Oh, absolutely.
True. That guy is a victim of absolute circumstance. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just threw out a grown man who was yelling racial slurs at the black teens that were playing Pokemon in his store. Like that's all he did.
That were beating him at Pokemon.
Was that the same store where he pepper sprayed a guy? Or was that a different store?
No, that was a GameStop.
That was a GameStop. You're right.
Totally different incident. Totally different and separate banning.
He said, "Sonic needs to have skin-colored arms."
Yeah.
He said, I won't have this blue arm. and he started putting like, what did you do? He put like fucking little like notes on all the game packages, and somebody was just like, "You need to get out of here, dude!" And, like sprayed him in the face.
Yeah,
he didn't even him. He like, sprayed his shirt.
Yeah. And then, he like, sprays him out. Right as he's leaving. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like he's walking out of the store, and then he's just like, "Bah." And
make
you know what?
Point of it.
That guy didn't seem to be that like affected by the spray, and it was just a little bit.
Absolutely
so I feel like
not. Yeah,
it was a little bit of an overreaction on everybody's part for that. But
I wouldn't want somebody else coming in and giving a second chance at that, though.
Okay, fair.
You know what I mean? Personally,
he tried to.
Oh,
mace
it wasn't
somebody.
That bad this time.
Like usually, when people try to mace other people, it's in self-defense. That wasn't in self-defense.
It was
like
aggressive mace.
That was a malicious.
Yeah, it was a malicious. He had malicious intent to mace somebody, so he should not be allowed back in that store for sure.
God damn. Yeah, but I don't know. I just think that like the overarching thing that makes it really interesting is like there are like, that dude was gonna be that autistic until at least the age of like 25 or like 26 or 27. But I feel like in a normal world, in a sane and just world, he would have, like, somebody would have said, hey, okay, we got to get this guy into a jobs program. We got to get this guy, like, into the world. And he would have made some progress in the world. But basically, the, like, trolls from 4chan intervened and were basically able to just, like, suspend this man in a state of, like, 14-year-old adolescence for the rest of his entire life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They were just able to, like, gotcha! And then they, like, just could never let go. And so that's why it's, like, so crazy. Like, even the later, like, video footage that you have of him, he's just, like, he acts like a child, like, exactly like a little boy, you know? And, like, autistic people, like, eventually they learn what is socially acceptable and what isn't. But this guy just never did. It's fucking crazy.
I would put that is all on his parents. Even after he was released, so after the whole Snyder incident, the assault charges and all this shit, he should have very well been put in some sort of mental housing, you know?
Yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
just to evaluate his situation.
Yeah.
A psychiatrist would look at him and listen to him talk about Sonichu and how he's talking to him and be like, this guy's a fucking schizophrenic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're like, holy shit, what the hell? I'm surprised no one has ever labeled it as such. You know what I mean? The guy is absolutely lost in fantasy.
Yeah.
It's just like, at what point is this guy just fucking, like, what, do you just let him go? And that's exactly what they did. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And they did. And they released him back into his family. And he stayed there for a little bit. He went over to the fucking game place even afterwards.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? It was chased off. And it's just like, this little ho-dunk town failed him. His parents failed him.
For sure.
It's just like, the legal system fucking destroyed him.
Yeah,
because
totally.
In a perfect world, we would put Chris Chan in a fucking mental institution.
Yeah, there would be some resources.
Not out of hate. Yeah, not out of hate.
Yeah.
But just
yeah.
because this guy can't function.
Yeah,
we would take the fucking internet away from the guy.
Not even necessarily an institution, but just like with caretakers and guardians that are able give like time and like actually like spend time with him and teach him things.
But this guy would need like 24/7 fucking help. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
This isn't some 100%. Shit you go into like therapy for a bit and then you go back into your life. You need to watch this guy for fucking weeks.
You need inpatient,
maybe a month. You know what I mean?
Inpatient like, care. Mental health care. I think that like one
and that
thing
never
that
happened.
Is one thing is really that's really interesting about like him in general is that it's like a schizophrenia that I don't think would be possible if he didn't have the internet. Like if the internet hadn't been invented, like I don't think he could have
fused his fantasy. Yeah, no.
Yeah, but like most autistic people don't get that deep into these insane fantasies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like it was just like having the like aiding and abetting of like a couple thousand dudes on the internet that were willing to like play into his fantasies.
Mm-hmm.
And basically like they created like a simulated environment. And also like I think there's an element of like the exact type of social cues and social like social incapability that people with autism has is like exactly what would make the perfect like target if you wanted to create a new reality for somebody. Like somebody with that disorder is like your perfect, it's just like the perfect puzzle piece.
Mm-hmm.
So like fucking it was like internet enabled schizophrenia. Like they led him down that. I really think that is one part of it that you can't like separate. Like it's not normal mental illness. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it has more to do with his own ego. More so than his autism. You know what I mean? It trumps his autism. It's the sheer ego of just having people the attention of people. You know what I mean? He fed off that for so fucking long. And it's just like, sure, he's not like a streamer that just knows how to manipulate that kind of thing and just go like fucking like, oh, big, here's a big moment in my life. I'm going to record it for views kind of shit. With Chris, it was more so just like, I think I got a really good idea here. I'm going to show it to all of you.
Yeah.
And then everybody sees it and it's just a mess. And it's just like, fucking, shit.
Well, yeah,
and
yeah.
Every time he did that, it just got worse and worse and worse. To the point where fucking he started giving a shit less. Like, I showed you guys that, what's it called? The I'm looking for a hero video.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a clip of that in the beginning.
There's genuine, like, craft in that video, you know what I mean? There's like certain I hate to say, but I mean there's certain scenes where it's just like transition shots and fucking just like there's like a scene where it shows like him, like a drawing of him, and then it goes into real version and he turns around kind of shit, and it's just like, hey, that's real creative shit.
For sure.
The wrong people got it and they were just like, this is great, Chris, fucking just make more like this. They didn't give any critiques on what he did right. They were just like, keep making this shit.
Yeah, yeah. Keep amplifying the cringe element instead of whatever was in it that was.
And then you see like his later videos of him singing, and he's just like, "I want a boyfriend, free girl."
And
it's just like, oh, shit, dude, what are you doing?
You lost it.
You
had talent, kid.
Yeah, the first time he does something, it's always better. And then he like, so the thing with like, I mean, that can be applied to even the Sonichu comics themselves. It's like he actually tried, like, in the beginning, and then once they sort of got popular, the fact is, like, too many people were pretending to like these comic books, and that's what inflated his ego to the point where he thought that that was how he was going to live his life, is drawing these comic books. If nobody had paid attention to them, he would have eventually realized that he needed to get, like, an actual job.
So that's,
and like even today you can go and buy Sonichu comic books on like Amazon and stuff. I don't know if you can do, I saw them on Amazon.
Yeah, I don't
know
think
if that money goes to him.
I don't think it does. Especially because in the later videos he's like begging the internet for like $50 so he can go buy like carrots for his mom.
Yeah, that's
and
weird.
He's like, I have zero money. Like, I have no money.
He's like, we're not getting much from the Patreon anymore. So if you want to donate a couple bucks to me on the side.
Wheel in my head. All
right, well,
we need to start a new...
So my take, my hard stance is that it's the internet's fault. It was that was ultimately what did him dirty. And there's no... Like, I see people that are like, well, actually, he's like a racist, and he's like a misogynist. So he's like, oh, he deserved it, and it's like, no, he didn't. They did him dirty.
He didn't deserve a lot of the things that happened to him, but he did also do a lot of bad things of his own volition that wasn't influenced by, like, I mean, I guess I get what you're saying, that it was influenced in an abstract way because he wouldn't be this like fucked up if he hadn't been so focused on this internet stuff for a long time, which destroyed his mind and like sort of broke his brain.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get what you're saying. We need to round this down because we've been going for a while since we
talked about I
would say, so go over what you said again one more time.
okay, so.
So this is, all right, okay, I got you.
You go for it.
So you say that this is the internet's fault.
Yes.
I say this isn't so black and white. It's not Chris Chan or the internet. It is, the internet is such a fucking dangerous place, and we take it for granted that we are able to navigate it in such a way where we are able to safely get in and out with what we want.
Yeah.
And just fucking move on with our lives.
Yeah.
But
then
you get these kinds of people who literally have no life.
Yeah.
And they live on this fucking cyberspace and fucking put themselves out there without any knowledge of how the internet works. The internet is a very fucking dark and fucking evil place.
Yeah.
When you really get into it, you know what I mean? Some of the worst people you'll ever meet, you'll fucking see on the internet. Some of the most vicious fucking vitriol will be spewed on the fucking internet.
Yeah,
so I'd say, and then even then, you can't blame the internet. That's just how it is. It's the Wild West.
It's
you know what I mean? You get shot on the street. That's your own fucking fault for living in the city. You know what I mean? Shit, dude.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, yeah, I know. I mean, like, my strong, like, tendency is to be like, No, those guys were fucked up.
Absolutely. I understand that. Yeah.
And
it's good
I do
to have
ultimately...
a bad guy to blame it on. I understand that.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
Somebody who's at the fault.
Like,
but
at the end of the day, just all of those guys could have just stopped, you know?
Well, other guys would have taken their place.
So could Chris, yeah.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, anyway.
There will always be evil trolls on the fucking internet. And do we want to cycle this into Terry? Got any more points? I'm sorry.
No. So I want to... Yeah. Look, basically, I think we've said, like, what we can say about Chris Chan. But I don't want to spoil the story for anybody. But, like, this story continues for many, many years. And it, like, just recently reached a very big point. And it's truly disturbing. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But I think, you know, everything we said about it is pretty clear. I think we got our points across.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Well, I feel like you can just go for infinity with this because it's like so much.
We could roll all night.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, not even half of the thoughts that I had while watching the documentary have we gone over.
We barely
touched
on like four instances of like a plethora.
All right. Well, yeah. Let's take a quick break and then come back talk about these albums.
Okay.
All right.
And
All right. We're back. We have three albums to discuss before we leave. So first is Los Angeles 2030 by Wos X, self-released. Yeah. I believe this is his swing album, is what he described it. Wos X is of course known for inventing hard vapor. And I loved this album. I thought it was great. I thought it was dope, bro. What do you guys think?
Okay,
my standout tracks were the first and the last track, and then I really like Siren and 420 Beach Blaze. All great tracks.
Shit. I'm gonna have to look at the songs I picked. I really liked the album.
Yeah,
I thought
it was
one of the better, more modern vaporwave albums I've heard. I know it sounds a lot like a fucking video game soundtrack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Gave me like 007 vibe.
Yeah. It gave me like Donkey Kong Country.
Nice.
like Donkey Kong Country, but a little bit more like kind of with a little bit more like modern flair, not so like kind of 8-bit.
Yeah, for
as
sure.
The,
for sure.
That kind of shit was. But I really liked it. A couple of my standout tracks were if I could fucking back to the fucking. Give me 1 second. Shit. I know Crack Walk was one of them.
Oh hell yeah!
I
was
like, this is absolute banger shit right here.
Yeah, yeah. I was very into Crack Walk for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you want to take that.
I was a little. I had some mixed feelings about this album. I mean, like the first like three tracks, Cool Sunrise, Freeway, Fruta Helada.
Fruta Helada, that was one of them too.
Oh yeah, that was fire.
I just felt like
this is kind of Congo-esque, kind of like island vibes. I fucking dig that.
I was not.
Rhythm,
it was like this swing. What's that kind of like dubstep that they used to have? That was
electric swing.
Electric swing. It's like, what is this electric swing type bullshit? That was the vibe that I got from it.
I thought it was like rumba, kind of just like
yeah,
island music kind of shit. I loved it.
Those kind of rhythms where it's like, I just wasn't into it. I would say the two standout tracks were Android Plaza and then Crack Walk was, I was very conflicted about Crack Walk. Or like, I loved Crack Walk, but that was what made me conflicted about the album because I was like, I shouldn't, like Crack Walk has a lot of the same things, the same like musical elements in it that I hated about like the other tracks, you know, but I still liked track
fair
one,
enough I got
you know
it.
So
that
kind
one kind of
like,
pulled it together. Yeah, no,
I was
had a weird kind of
to,
transition into,
yeah I was sick. Forced to like re. I was like, wait a minute, do I really hate this or do I really like this? But like
is this unironically a band?
Yeah I was forced to reflect on myself. And it was just one of those things where, you know, every couple tracks there's a solid banger, right? Just a good, hearty banger. And then Like the next two tracks are like a.
I feel that.
A little like long. There were definitely
some filler ass tracks in that album.
Yeah,
like, I'm not gonna say the entire album was consistently good. I'd probably rate it maybe like a 8, maybe like a 7.5 out of 10.
Oh, I don't
giving
think
it very a lot of credit.
Yeah. So on our review score, we keep everything clean of numerical ratings.
Gotcha. I would call it 6.5. Oh, no, numerically, gotcha. So it would be very, very, very nice.
Very, very...
very, very, very nice, but not so nice.
Very, very, very nice. All right. I don't know, like,
just under great.
Yeah, like, the first three tracks especially, I was like, I'm not into this. This is not good. I just can't imagine, like, I can't imagine how you could like it, Triton TJ. Like, I just can't imagine you skating down, like, skating around Portland with this in your ear. And being
I specifically was walking home from work at night when I was listening to it, and, like, it was, like, a Saturday night, and there was, like, a wedding event, like, a couple blocks away, and so I was walking through this, like, crowd of like a bunch of people in like fancy clothes, and they were all dancing to, you know, their own music, but then I was listening to the Wasex album, and so to me, it was bizarre because
out of my headphones.
Made perfect sense, and so I think that's why I got it. And then, like, you know, later on, because the album sort of changes, like later on there's a lot less of those types of tracks.
Yeah,
so the moment that those tracks, yeah, they did annoy me, like I'm not, those aren't my favorite like tracks definitely, but it like made sense at the time. And then by the time I was like almost home, it was like banger after banger. Like, that last track is fucking crazy, dude. That last track is so good with the horns.
That shit gets weird. Yeah, no, that was
yeah. Mirage.
I like it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one's good, yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I liked it.
So what did you guys think of the Black Banshee album? So
that was the standout for me. I love that.
Personally.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was like a pretty like it's crazy to me that it's AI generated. First off, it's not the world's first AI generated album. I'm pretty sure there's other people that have done that before. I can give the guy a pass for thinking it was, but and then I don't know, like I just felt like that didn't impact it at all. It just sort of still sounded like a normal Vaporwave album, except you realized that the words didn't make any sense, and you were like, oh, yeah, that's because it's AI. But I don't know. It didn't really stand out to me, except for the ambient track in the middle, I thought was, like, stupid fire.
That was neat. I liked that one. Yeah, what was it called? Future. Fucking Future.
Yeah.
That shit got neat. Everything else on the album kind of just felt kind of like cookie cutter, kind of just the basic. But yeah, like you said, fucking you pull yourself out of the kind of break the fourth wall of the album, and you realize fucking like, oh, they're just kind of mixing together the most enticing sounds of like fucking like every song. You know what I mean? And it's not even in a way where it's like fucking like most Vaporwave tracks do it, where it's like they'll draw out a certain chorus just because that chorus is like really good and like really hard hitting kind of shit. They literally just chop shit up and turn it into like this kind of collage.
Yeah.
That might be a good collage of work. I liked it.
So, why was it so standout for you, Evan?
So was it an actually AI generated album?
Was that bullshit?
No, it was not an AI.
He fed a bunch of samples into this thing, and it like produced those tracks. Have you ever listened to AI generated music? Like, it sounds like it's exactly like how it sounds.
I don't believe that.
Go on Google and
look up shenanigans.
There will be people that will be like,
I call shenanigans on that. No, I have.
No, I believe it was an AI generated album.
No, it was not an AI.
It was.
No.
Okay. No. Go ahead. Believe that.
No, it was. So the reason that I liked it was because it was a human-made album that was very deftly and considerately produced to sound like an
artificial intelligence album. Kind of thing.
Yeah,
okay, so you just have a conspiracy about the album.
I really don't think it was an AI. How does does HKE have the access to like AI technology? Does he know how to
this manipulate? Wasn't HKE, this is Shima 33's alias.
But do any of these people know how to?
No, you can go on YouTube and you can look up like AI Iron Maiden song, and people like it's just like a program that you download, and like you can see how like other people can do it, but they don't do it in an artistic way. They're just like, here, this is crazy. But it makes exactly, it just continues the song, but it sounds fucked up because it's a computer. But like, you know, that's it's a very real technology. It's the most enticing
beats to make a kind of like.
It's a real technology.
Because there's like, what was that big old conspiracy that went down a few years back about like the same beats working through like all songs? They had that like really big, like kind of compilation of just a bunch of songs that use the same kind of beats.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of what this draws from. It's just that remedy or that kind of recipe of just this kind of type of music and how it flows.
Like just the fact that every top 40 song just happens to have basically like same rhythm or like the same chord progression or something.
I wouldn't be surprised if he created AI like songs like through a program and then chopped those up and like maybe fucked with those, but it's definitely not like a 100% original compositions. Like, no way.
Okay, well then that changes things, I guess. But what I liked about listening to it is like how it does sound like the like a cold, unfeeling machine's attempt to understand like human pop music, which is great. And then like there's just something to like there is some kind of like logic to the like changes in the song, but like none of those songs have like a traditional like verse, chorus, verse, like song structure to them, you know? So it's like the machine isn't actually getting the like structure of the song right. It's just guessing like what humans would like. And I like listening to it like I enjoy that like that idea of like, oh, like the song changed here, or like the song had like this little element thrown in here. Like, isn't that funny that that's like what a machine would think that a human would like? And I actually do really like it. And then also, like, I just liked the sampling choices that they used. Like, a bunch of, like, I don't know, like, 90s songs that I half remember the original sample of. Like, I felt like it was a very tasteful selection of songs that they sampled. And then, like, how can you not like that one track, Freestyle? I thought Freestyle was great. That shit was fucking savage.
Fire.
I don't have my phone with me. I can't look up which one it was. Was that the one has the sample that's like the
No. That was the one that's like a breakbeat. It was like a breakbeat song.
Oh, weird. There was one that was like, it was like a hard rock song, and I thought that was fucking shit. It was like the third or fourth track.
I really liked it a lot. I enjoyed listening to it.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed listening to it. I just thought it like sounded like a normal vaporwave album, sort of. And I just didn't stand it. It was a cool concept, though.
I don't know. Yeah, I feel like it definitely carried on the Black Banshee sound of like having like a really obvious sample or like a really cliched sample and like just doubling down on it. And I kind of like that too. So yeah, I felt like it didn't really sound like a normal vaporwave album, but I don't know.
Okay, the last one is No 3 by the No Gag, which has to be a Shima, another Shima alias, because he had No and No 2. And both of those albums are fire. Like, the original No is so dope.
Yeah.
If I start out the reviews on this one, So I listened to the, if I may start out the review. I listened to it all the way through. No tracks stood out to me. And it actually made me go out and listen to the original No and make me like
examine it, figure out.
Embrace that one more. So
yeah.
Like some of the just kind of, I don't know. I'm not going to say that the new No, what was it called? Was the title of it?
No Three.
Changed the name to the No Gang instead of Shima.
The No Gang.
Because I think it's like sort of a secret album. Because Shima's like sort of blacklisted from Vaporwave.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I feel like it is one of those albums that like, yeah, there's no really particular tracks that like particularly stand out, you know, and works as a just
you
like a
the, you didn't like
not so tight. Much as the original.
I didn't like the first track. Like the first track, I was like, oh, this is lame. And then the track
yeah that kind of put me in fine. A wrong mood.
I think it's like the second or third one. It has the female vocal sample going hold tight. That shit was raw, dude.
So I liked it,
but it just reminded me of something else from the original No. Like,
you like, might have just been reusing samples and trying to like.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, it's just the same kind of samples kind of thing. There was one song that was straight up just like it didn't even feel like he kind of edited it at all.
Yeah.
Well, you know me. You know my vaporwave opinions. That's fine by me. You just slow it down, throw it on there. No editing at all, baby.
Yeah, that's the way to go. I really liked Number One. I think that was the standout for me. Mm-hmm. And then I liked, I think it was Girls on the Beach.
Yeah, Girls on the Beach has the like Beach Boys-esque sample. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's Beach Boys, but it's like the same sort of thing.
Yeah, at first I was very skeptical of it, and I was like, oh, this is stupid. Like, I don't like this. But then like about halfway through, they like they kind of put it, you know, lock in with it, and it's really good.
Yeah, I read like somebody else's blurb about the album, and I think like because this is like his final album supposedly, and like sort of a like vaporwave love letter or whatever, I think he was just sort of trying to use like, I'm pretty sure every song on this, like the sample has been used in like other vaporwave songs,
and so it was like a callback album kind
of. Yeah, and then basically just sort of like settling on one sort of groove and just riding it out. And like, he's not like doing much. But I don't know. I didn't think it was like, I thought it was better than the Black Fancy one. Personally.
Yeah, I would definitely rank it lower than the Black Fancy album, but I still liked it a lot. Just like a solid, like, mid-tier, just coming through with all the classics that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Just put it on in the background while you're driving around and have a good time.
It sort of like has like a 2015 era vaporwave sound. Like it sounds kind of like Nano or like stuff from like DMT, like Waterfront Dining, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, really bouncy kind of.
Yeah, just really pure. It's cool.
I feel like it never reached the, maybe it's only in comparison to the first No.
The first No was really probably like much more of a labor of love. And this one Murtis, was probably like, I just gotta get it out.
Murtis Curtis Mayfield.
Jekyll Maxson is my favorite track on that.
Yes. Slaps on that album. And it's just, I think that's the main reason why I'm not kind of vibing with it as much. It's just like, it's been done better by them.
I remember when I showed Ike Man Sensei, I showed you the track Jekyll Maxson from that album, and it's a remix of Baby Be Mine. And you were pissed, and you were like, you can't just sample Thriller, that's cheating. Like,
I stand by that.
Yeah. Vaporwave is about finding obscure samples. You can't just cheat and use the best music ever, which is Thriller, you know?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't agree with that, but I'm just going to stand by my original statement because I'm a man of consistency. And
I have integrity.
Yeah, I got integrity, okay? I'm not going to back down just because I've changed my opinion.
Okay, who are all of ours? Like, what was your favorite out of this batch?
Oh, yeah, Black Banshee.
What about you?
WOSX.
Which one?
WOSX. WOSX.
Oh, yeah, WOSX. Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm sort of thinking No 3 now that Evan sort of destroyed my thoughts about WOSX, and now I'm sort of thinking No 3 was kind of fire.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fire.
All right, so we got a three-way split, boys.
Three-way tie, huh?
Yeah.
How did I change your mind?
Well, you were just like,
you shit all
reminded
over
me that there were about half of the songs on that. Like, there was like a good amount of songs on LA 2030 that I liked, but yeah, you're right. Like, half of them were that electric swing bullshit. Now that I think about it.
Yeah, like corny, historical, like.
I don't give a shit. I thought it was great. I thought it was great swing. I haven't heard that kind of swing in a long time, especially with that kind of.
It's my second best, though.
All right. Yeah, so I'm going Black Banshee, No 3, WOSX.
Okay.
That's my game.
I'm throwing WOSX, Black Banshee, and then No 3.
All right, No 3, WOSX, and Black
Banshee. Damn.
The contrarian.
Wow.
Very nice.
Okay. So I guess we'll have to agree to disagree.
Yeah. All right. That was a good one, boys. I guess.
Absolutely.
You guys have anything else to say? Welcome to the team. Shinzon 009. I keep looking at these papers.
I had a great time. I hope you guys had a great time too. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, we will send you your contractual obligation in the mail, and there will be a small fee to sign up. And
I'm slowly disappearing from the fucking picture. You notice that I'm like fading in and out. I look like fucking what's his name from Back to the Future. I'm like his parents.
Dude, I was gonna say you have the beard. You have the beard for the Taliban. Like, you could be one of
those.
That's
what I was thinking. Yeah. I mean, I'm right here with my boys. They think it's cool too. They think it's a pretty good look.
Yeah, you do not look out of place at all.
Fucking Christ. Yeah, get a pic, man. Shit.
We want to continue this vlog. We want to continue this podcast to be an international podcast. So you should go to Afghanistan.
You guys have the full support of the Taliban coming straight from the moon. Okay? Yeah. So I'm saying right now.
Yeah. Okay? So yeah.
And, and if we have any listeners that are actually in the Taliban, you know who I am.
Hell yeah.
You know it's good.
Yeah, I have the analytics, so it can show me different parts of the country where people are living in. So I'm gonna check that Afghanistan area.
Are you going to find me?
Okay, yeah. Shouts out to the Taliban. If you guys want to collab or anything. We're really looking to drive up
We got bangers. We got shooters.
Yeah.
We got shooters out there.
All right.
As you can tell. Look at my boy.
All right. Well, we like to end the pod by saying sayonara.
Big sayonara. And
sayonara.
How do you say goodbye in whatever you call it?
Afghani or whatever.
Afghani.
I don't know. Nobody knows, and if we try, it's going to be racist. So okay. So sayonara and.